This morning's readings from the New King James Bible, Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. But one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given into the treasury. For they put out of their abundance, but she put out of her poverty, put all that she had, her whole livelihood." May the Lord bless this reading.
This morning, we're going to have a look at Jesus and giving. What did Jesus say about giving? I'm actually going to enlist a bit of your help here in terms of thinking of what stories, what illustrations, what things did Jesus use to actually talk about giving? Money, wealth, riches, poverty, the things all associated with that and how we should relate to material blessing. Anyone like to help me out? Just think of a story where Jesus is interacting with somebody. Now, I'm going to talk about the widow's mite. So I'm not going to take that one because I've already got that one. But any other story that actually has something to do with a principle about giving or something to do with about the way money should be used or not used and things like that. Yeah, I'm talking about stories Jesus used. So that's in Acts, that's fine. And there's lots of other stuff in the New Testament and the Old Testament.
The rich young man that came to Jesus asking.
Yeah, the rich young man who came to Jesus. And what was his question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor. Well, sorry, I'm getting two stories mixed up. And then he said a few things he needed to do, and he said, yeah, I've done all those things. And then Jesus said, well, what did he say to him? Sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. And what was the problem for the young man about that? He was very rich. Now, why would Jesus tell him to do that? Now, is that a general principle for everybody? Sell all your possessions and give to the poor? Does anyone think that? Yeah, Jesus looked into his heart and saw that the big issue was that he could never put God first because he always had his love of money and his possessions first. And so in order to break that, Jesus had to ask him to do something totally radical, to totally trust God by giving up everything he'd had his security in and then trusting God. Now, there once was a cult called the Children of God who took that literally and told everybody they had to sell all their possessions if they were truly following Jesus. And well, actually, they just changed it a little bit. It wasn't give to the poor, it was give to us. So they were definitely a cult. Yes. But sometimes, you know, we can get confused and think, okay, Jesus said that, but it was for a particular purpose. He saw the heart of the person. Okay, can you think of another story? Zacchaeus. So what happens with Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And what has he been doing to the people when he collects the tax? Ripping him off, taking a bit extra for himself. Now, probably it was appropriate for him to take a proportion, but he'd obviously been taking heaps more. So what changed Zacchaeus? His encounter with Jesus. He met Jesus, and suddenly he realizes what he's been doing, who he really is, standing in front of Jesus. What was the last song we sang? The debt of love we owe and out of a grateful heart. Suddenly Zacchaeus recognizes, I'm talking to Jesus, who is, you know, this amazing person from God. And that changes him. And so once when he was a very selfish, greedy man, suddenly now, in the presence of Jesus, he comes under a great conviction that I've been doing wrong and I need to get this right. So what did he do? Do you remember? He gave away half of everything he owned And then, on top of that, repaid 4 times of what he'd unlawfully taken off other people. So not only did he operate in generosity, he made things right. So there's another story that Jesus was involved with that shows something about an attitude to giving. It was giving both to bless others and also to make right. Think of another story. Yep. Yep. So there was a question to Jesus. Jesus didn't pay the temple tax. Now, if you think about it carefully, the temple tax was a tax paid to God for him giving them priests and people to look after them. So it went to support the priest. Who was the great high priest? Jesus. Who was the least likely person who ever needed to pay a temple tax? Jesus. So in a sense, in a broader godly sense, he had no need to pay the temple tax. But they questioned him about it, and so what did he do? Do you remember? Said to someone, I forget who it was, to go catch a fish, Peter. Peter catches a fish, and what does he find in the mouth of the fish? A coin. And then what did he do with that coin? He paid Peter's and his temple tax, so that could be seen to be done right. And he made the statement, render unto God what is God's and Caesar's what is Caesar's. So in part the temple tax was a civil tax as well. So basically he's saying some stuff belongs to God, some stuff belongs to the culture in which you live and the need to do the right thing by that. Even though in that context he wasn't, in a broad sense, obligated to do that. Think of another story. Yeah, just say, John at the back's got one. Yes. So he gets this bumper crop, massive amount of extra that he didn't really probably expect, and so he says, what am I going to do with this? And he builds bigger ones. And what is he saying in his heart about it? I've got plenty. I can now sit back, basically eat, drink and be merry, because I don't have to worry anymore. I've got this abundance. But what does God say to him? You fool. Tonight, your life is required of you, and who's going to get this stuff? So what is the sort of principle maybe behind that? Yeah, he was really selfish. It was all going to be about him. This abundance was just going to be something that was going to give him ease. And basically it was saying it would have been better if he'd actually shared that around, probably with his workers and his family, and everybody benefited from that, than rather just keep it all to himself. Because in the end, someone else was going to get it anyway, because he wasn't going to get to enjoy it. So there's sort of little bits of principle starting to come together here. Can you think of another story? Down the back, Peter. The end of the Good Samaritan, and tell us what you think in that one. Yep. Yep. So not only did this man do something practical and physical, he actually was generous in terms of providing for the ongoing needs of him. And that was part of his goodness. He didn't just turn up, he actually went beyond that and used some of his material wealth to bless this man who to him was a stranger and actually to him was an enemy, you know, in that sense. So he went above and beyond in terms of his giving towards that. Let me think of another story. Angela. Yep. Yeah, I'm sure you probably didn't hear that over there, but it's the passage where he says, do not worry about anything. You know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You know, the birds Don't worry about what they're going to wear and look how beautifully they're arrayed and so on. And then he goes on in the end of that passage and says, sell everything, all your possessions, and give to the poor. So he's talking about a general principle here, and that is about making sure that everyone is taken care of. So if you've got lots of possessions, then maybe just instead of keeping it all for yourself, you've got to think about who else that might be given to you to bless and to help out. We're very quickly discovering Jesus talked a lot about money, wealth, possessions and poverty, and it was a very big theme of Jesus's. I want you to think about this. When Jesus, in all of this, did he tell us how much we should give? Did he specify any amount that we should give? The only times he actually said it was give all. Now, that might be hyperbole just in terms of saying give it all when, you know, basically saying, you know, don't store up a whole lot of extra stuff. Everything that you don't really need is probably for somebody else that God's blessed you. Did he ever talk about the tithe, the 10%? Only once did Jesus mention the tithe. Does anyone know where that was? And what the circumstance was? The tenth? The Pharisees. He was talking to the Pharisees. These self-righteous, puffed-up people who thought they were terrific, who basically would give a tenth of every little bit of herb they got to the church, but had all these ways of quarantining their major income away from that, and so that they didn't have to give that sort of stuff. And so basically he is saying, you guys, you give a tenth of all the rest of it and you're ripping off the widows, you're stealing from the church and all sorts of things. You should be doing justice and caring for the poor. He said, don't neglect the first bit, but do the second as well. So the only time he actually comments on the principle of a tithe is in saying to the Pharisees, who are sort of the law keepers, you know, you do that bit, but you're not doing the other important stuff. So it's not a prescriptive thing. So in Jesus' teaching, at least, his principle is more, not about how much we give, it's about how we give and why we give. It's about the heart motivation of someone in terms of the way they reflect their heart back towards God in their giving. And so I want to come now then and have a look at this particular story of the widow's mite. Because I don't want you to hear that Jesus is through this story saying we should give everything and totally trust God. Because we've heard all those other stories that show that there's a whole lot of different emphases in there. So Jesus sits down opposite the place where the offerings were put. This would have been in a court where women and men were allowed to come, not the inner place, which was restricted to the men. And from what I've read, there was a number of fluted things that people came and put their offerings in. I think 12 of them or something in the temple. And so basically there was a place where people just publicly came and dropped their offerings in. And Jesus sits near there and just is observing. If you're following, it's Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. So he sits there and he watches the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. I've had a look at that in the commentaries, and they say what she put in would have bought at most a handful of flour, the most meagre of meals for one person. And that's what she put in. And so he watches this happen. And then he calls his disciples and says, truly, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth or out of their excess, is sort of the implication there, their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So, the principle that Jesus is saying is, it's not how much, it's what was in the heart towards the giving. She gave everything to God, and her heart was abundantly towards God. The gratefulness that we just sang about, she was obviously super grateful to God and gave out of that. So in one part, Jesus is commending the heart of this widow who came and gave her all. Now, you know, some people might say, oh, well, if she had only that little bit, it really wasn't going to make that much difference. It was only one little meal. But it's not about that. It's about the fact that she had a heart towards God to give him everything. Whereas those others that Jesus had watched, many of the rich that came and probably ostentatiously dropped in their big amounts to look good, were just giving out of their excess. It wasn't hurting them in any particular way. And so therefore, he was drawing a contrast. So Jesus is warning us to have a heart that is sold out for him. But at the same time, he's not saying that means if you're sold out for him, this is the principle, that you give everything. But he is saying, think carefully about that, the abundance that you've been given, the blessings that you've got. We live in an amazingly rich country. Nobody in this room is poor, no matter what you think. You know, you go to a country where people are lucky to make $1 US a day to feed a family. And if they don't work the next day, there's no food for the next day. There's nothing. It's day to day, hand to mouth living. We are not poor. We have an amazing riches. To live in Australia, as far as God's concerned, we won the lottery of where we live. We are so blessed to live here. And by the same token, we've got to be careful to think about the fact that are we like these rich people who came in their abundance and gave their bit and thought, well, I've done my bit. I'm okay. Maybe they gave their tithes, but for them, the tithe was nothing. It was a small proportion of their disposable income. Maybe they gave more. But there is another aspect to this story that Jesus was illustrating if we look at its context. Just before that, Jesus has warned, in the passage immediately before, he's been having given the Pharisees and the scribes and those people, the holy rulers, a hard time. And in verse 38, he says, as he taught, Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They walk around in flowing, they like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace. They have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. So, he's just had a go at these guys by saying they basically are very happy to take away, you know, the last of a widow's resources while they walk around in their flowing robes, enjoying the honour and the wealth that has come to them by their position. And so here, a woman puts in her last little bit. So the other aspect of that is Jesus is saying, actually inferring, why would she feel she had to put that in? What teaching has caused her to think that she has to go to the temple and put her last little bit in when that's all she's got to live on? Now, one part is looking at her heart and saying, this is amazing. But on the other part, he's looking at the system that has treated her this way and caused her to think that way. So she's doing it out of a heart response to God. Fantastic. If she's obeying the sense of what the Spirit has said to her, fantastic. And God will honour that. But if she's doing that because of the obligation of the system that was in place, that's not good. And I'll give you an illustration of this. Many years ago, we were part of a church that was doing a building program, and we're doing a whole range of things to raise money, really encouraging people to think about what they could give in order to build the new facility that they were looking at. And they were getting some substantial donations from people who felt God had moved them to do that. And there was a lady who worked in the church office who had been in a difficult marriage. Her husband had walked out on her. She was now left with a couple of little kids. Finally, the divorce had come through, the settlement had come through, and she'd got $20,000 out of the settlement of their house. That was a little bit that was there. But going back into the 80s, that wasn't too bad an amount of money, probably $100,000 or something today. And she came and gave that money to the church for their building program. First anonymously, but then somehow we tracked and realised She was the one who gave that money. And the elders met and said, you know, we're desperately looking for lots of money to build this church that we were looking to build, but we can't take this gift because that is something that's meant to be for the provision of her family. She's already been blessed by her heart to give it. Now let's bless her by giving it back, which they did. Now, they were struggling to get the money they needed for the building. But the heart of those leaders was right. They recognised that it was really important that that money was something that was going to help her and her family survive, maybe get into another small property or whatever, and look after her. So I think God honoured the church for doing the honourable thing towards someone who could not afford to give that in real sense if she was going to survive. She gave it in a sense that she was going to trust God for her future. God honoured that by moving the hearts of the elders to give it back, a bit like Abraham and Isaac. No, I'm not saying that's a principle that will always be a formula that will work, but I think as a church, as an institution, we've got to be careful what we do with the money God gives us. And we've got to recognise that it isn't always for us. It isn't always to support pastors or build more buildings. And so it's, we've got to be thinking about how we give and what we do with what we get. Blessed with a good group of leadership here who do think about some of those things and are concerned about that and have faith to trust God. So the principles that we're looking at is that God wants us to give out of a grateful heart, recognising that every blessing we have comes from him. Yeah, if you don't know what to give, a tithe is a good principle, a good starting point. God used that in the Old Testament to show them what was a sort of a base obligation. But do you remember why they gave the tithe was set up? I mean, there's the example of Abraham giving a tithe to Melchizedek, but basically when they set up the tithe as a structural principle, why did they do it? To support the priests. The Levites, the descendants of Levi, were not to work, they were to serve in the temple. And if they didn't work in those days, no work, no pay, no food, no living. So the idea was the rest of the tribes were all obligated to give a tenth into the temple, which to support the Levites. But was it more than that? Does anyone remember anything about it being more than just to support the Levites? Exactly. Yep. Let's go to the verses in Deuteronomy where it talks about this. Here we are. Deuteronomy 14:29. At the end of every three, it was about justice for widows and orphans and so on. And it says, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce to the store in the towns. So that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, and the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Further down in 26, chapter 26 of Deuteronomy, verses 12 and 13, when you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, in the year of the tithe, you shall give to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and given it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from the commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred stuff. I often hear a lot of teaching about tithing and give it all to the church and it's all there for the church and the pastors. It's for more than that. It's for good deeds and to look after those who don't have a means to look after themselves. It's to look after the widows. It's to look after the foreigners. It's to look after the childless. Now, we may not have all of that in our own church, although we do have some of that. And so maybe we have broader structures whereby our giving, as a church, we give a tenth of our offerings to broader work, to missions and to other needs and so on. But I just want to break that thing that the tithe is all meant to come in here to support the local church. The tithe was for more than that, right from the beginning. It was for the really genuine needy. And so much of Jesus' teaching about giving has to do with social equity and injustice, to make sure that the poor, the needy, the foreigners. If you're a foreigner in a town and you had no means of working and supporting yourself, the only way you were going to be supported was through the hospitality of the people you were staying with. So how do we regard the way we treat refugees who come to Australia? Coming here, you know? We can be, no, don't take our stuff, you know? Don't come and take our social welfare. Don't come and... Or we can think about desperate, poor people and how we might want to support them. And some of these are the principles about giving that Jesus is talking about. So this isn't a sermon about you've got to give more to Kiwana Life. You know we've got a deficit budget and all of that, and we need. But we're trusting God for that. We're not ringing you harder for that. We're trusting God will move the hearts of his people, and not only his people, but people beyond that, in all sorts of ways to provide for the needs that we have. If it doesn't come, we'll survive. It's about challenging you to think about what you do with the material things that God has blessed you with and how you choose to not live in that blessing but also use it to bless others, and particularly in Jesus' teaching, those who are less well off than yourself. Are you alert to needs around you and want to just quietly try and do something to meet that need? Do you notice if someone's doing it tough and think about maybe doing something to help them out in some way, whether it be money or materially or whatever? And so the giving is not just about money. It's about our blessing, our health, our wealth, our possessions, all that sort of stuff. Barb's organising a working bee for John and Ricky. Perhaps not as capable of maintaining the yard as much as they would like. Who is capable of doing that sort of stuff and helping them out? These are the sort of things that have got to be in their mind. And it's all about that sense of giving, about time and all about those things. And so I'm not really saying we're not doing it well. I'm just saying that God is constantly challenging us to think through what we do with what he's blessed us with. And just as that widow came and sort of gave everything out of her gratefulness to God, hopefully not out of her sense of duty from these corrupt priests who were putting it on her, where is our heart? And Jesus said, if you want to save your life, then you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. And that's in the wholeness of life. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's also involves in our whole of life, because we are body, soul, spirit, mind, and all strength and everything else. And the word strength in all of that actually talks about the power we have by what we possess, which is interesting. It's not just our physical strength. It's the influence we have by what we possess. So I'm going to leave that for you to ponder, think, but more importantly, for God to speak to our hearts. And I'm preaching this to me as much as to you. I can be quite selfish about the things that I've got, and constantly need to be reminded by God to think more generously. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us this morning about what we do with what he's blessed us with. Jesus, we thank you for the many times you taught and illustrated things to do with possessions, wealth, riches, money, and the way that you so much were interested not in what we had, but what we did with what we had. And I pray that you would just speak into our hearts, that we would know the abundant blessing that you've given us, and that we would have a sense of what that blessing is for, not just for us to enjoy more of it, but perhaps to be able to be a blessing to others. And Lord, your heart so much was for the poor, the fatherless, the widow, the foreigner. Move our hearts to be the same, Lord, that we'd prepared to be giving up some of our time, talent, possessions, to bless those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Move in our hearts by your Spirit, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.